Welcome to Praat Nederlands met me, the podcast for international parents raising multilingual children. I'm your host, Wendy van Dalen, founder of Dutch for Children, the online Dutch school for kids around the whole world. Today's guest is someone truly special, Romani. She's mother of two, grandmother of five, and a modern shaman who works especially with pregnant women and international women. Romani has lived in Germany, not once, but twice, with a return to the Netherlands in between. Her journey through motherhood, migration, multilingualism, and identity is one that I believe will resonate with many of you. Romani, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy, for inviting me and having me here. So it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Let's start at the beginning. Before you moved to Germany for the first time, where were you living? What were your thoughts and feelings about traveling, language, motherhood, etc.? The start.
When I, before Germany, I lived in Rotterdam, in the center of Rotterdam. Yeah. I'm originally from the south, and I've traveled there also different times. So I've moved to Tilburg, and I've moved there five times. Mm-hmm. So I know what it is to move. especially in 1 year, it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when we lived in Germany, we were in Rotterdam. Then there was an opportunity for my husband to go to abroad, and then Germany. And I was immediately enthusiastic. I'm a more gypsy woman because I really like going to different places, see different cultures, learn or try. My shaman always says, if you try, you fail, but learn the language, even if it's only to say thank you and you're welcome and yes and no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was being the part that I was doing. And it took a while because we have been spoken it for many times. And then my husband first said, maybe we should wait with children before we go abroad, because that's maybe easier. Mm-hmm. And I was going like, well, the company is not going to say when I'm going to have children. So, no.
That would be something very special.
Yeah, well, he thought it would be easier if we would go, the two of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, without children, because then you also can work and you are maybe a little bit more free. But I was going like, no, I want to be a young mom. So and he also wanted to be a young dad, so that was not the issue. So I said, okay, if it's, and with his company, it was always, yeah, you never knew.
Yeah.
So at the end, when we left to Germany, I already had a son.
Okay.
I was 10 months old. So yeah. I was very happy that I did not wait. I really was very happy. And I was pregnant from number two.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So we left in 1995 in June. And the son, the youngest one, was born there in Germany in December.
Okay. Did you already think about language at that point with your young children, or were you just busy moving?
If I was thinking about the language for my children,
yeah,
or for myself?
For your children. Would it impact them, the moving?
Yeah, of course, we were thinking about the impact that would have with the moving part. We also spoke with my parents and his parents.
Yes.
And because they were going, we go so far away. And I was going like, yeah, but you know, the home is where the mother is and the father.
Mm-hmm.
So if I feel okay, then my kids will be okay. That I always had. I never could really explain it, but for me it was no issue. And I always going like, well, the children learns very easily. Yes, they maybe start talking later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's because they have more language to get in their head. So I was not really thinking, because the oldest one, yeah, he had to turn one.
Yeah.
And the youngest one was still in my belly. So I was not really, not a big concern.
No.
At home, we spoke just Dutch.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end, when we were in Germany, yeah, I went to the Volksuniversity. And I learned their German.
Yes.
And then the lady was saying, oh, your vocabulary is so much more than the general people who are coming. So she said, it's not wise to continue. She said, but I can give you private lessons. And that's what I did. So I went once a week. I learned German because I really wanted to integrate with the German people. So I also looked for a place. Yeah. Because you can want to join in with women, with people, with women who are working. But yeah, that's during the daytime they're working. So I was going from, okay, I cannot do that anything with them. So I have to do with the mothers. And I had a certain, well, that was me. Yeah? I generally I go like, what do I want with mothers? But if you want to integrate,
yes.
Then in this case, I have to go and find other mothers who are pregnant or have very young children.
Right. And, it's very common with traveling spouses, so to call, with young children.
Yeah. And they also did not go to school.
No.
If you have young children who are going to school, it's also different, because then you're already getting in touch with other people. But that was in this case not the case. So I went to the Volksuniversity and I found Eltern Baby Treff. And I hate it. I really hated it.
You have to translate it in English for our listeners, please.
Eltern Baby Treff means parents and baby gets together.
Okay. Yeah. Like a baby group or a toddler group.
Yeah, it was just, you know, a course from, I don't know, 13 weeks or something like that. What's the university doing those things? And but there were 12 women. And I and another lady were the only one who had already a child and were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
The rest was for the firstborn.
Yes.
For some, it was, I mean, I don't like if people, it's nice to know, but I don't like if they're going to say to me from, oh, where can we buy the diapers cheap? Because I don't care. I mean, that's not a conversation that I want to have. But at the end, we were 12 women. And after that period of time, you find women that you like.
Yeah.
And maybe not exactly that you go like, oh, that's going to be my best friend. But I was going, okay, I'm here for 2 years. So that's good. So, and that with 6 women, after we have given birth, we get together every week, every Friday morning at somebody else's place. And then we did a kind of breakfast. So one had took some bread, another cheese, another marmalade and all those stuff. The children were playing, we were chatting and eating, and the kids, of course, also a little bit.
How did you experience that with the other moms? You say, okay, we decided to talk Dutch at home, the two of us.
Yeah.
How did the other mothers do that?
Well, they were all German mothers.
Ah, they were German mothers.
They were all German mothers, so they don't have any issues. They talk German. So for me, it was a good. I also wanted to integrate. In the German culture.
Yes.
Because it's, even if it's close by, there is, there are differences.
Very big difference. Way you find a
sports group.
A sports system around you.
Yeah.
For 2 years, it is great, because it's a short period of time. Yeah. And
I would say that even makes it harder.
Yeah.
Because if you know that, it can make it hard, because then you go, I'm just here for 2 years. So, and it was at the end, it was 2.5 years, but it's only for 2 years and I don't have to make friends and I will take care. But you are there by yourself. And in Germany, they have those houses where there are more families in it.
Mm-hmm.
So downstairs was, I don't know, never saw those people, but upstairs was the owner. And she was taking, you know, our kids went upstairs. Eventually, when they could crawl, they went upstairs and they get bread with honey, because he was an imker. And so they had, and she loved, adores her children. When I was going in labor, she also would take care of the oldest one. So that, because we had to go in the hospital, which I did not like and I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. But there was it was obligated in Germany because they don't do home birth.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was one. So I had a good connection with that lady, even if I made some cultural mistakes.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Give one example for the listeners.
An example. Well, in English, everything is you. In Dutch, you have u, polite form, and jij.
Yes.
The informal form.
Formal one.
And we speak with first names.
Yes.
So me, I was 26. I was always going very quickly in the this polite form and the informal form and with first names. So at the moment that Frau Kaiser was talking to me, she called me Mrs. Spiertz, and I really looked around me. I was going, where in the hell is my mother-in-law? Because at 26, I did not like my last name. I really want to have my first name. So I said to her, please do call me Romani. And then she was a little bit shocked. And then she's, I think, about 20 years older than me. And she looked at me and she was going like, well, normally, the older people are saying when you can use the first name and use that's not the impolite form, but the informal form.
Informal form, yeah.
Yeah, and then I said, sorry, I didn't know that. But you still can call me Romani and I will call you Frau Kaiser, Miss Kaiser. Because I was going, I can use the polite form to you, but I don't want you to use it to me. And then she was going, no, it's fine. You just call me also by the first name. So that's what I did.
But, how you learn. And did you notice that it helped that you spoke German?
Yes. Yes. I mean, my German was with hands and feet. And if I didn't, that's then the advantage, I think that I'm Dutch. Because if I didn't know the words, I just told it in Dutch with a German accent. It's working most of the time.
It's quite similar sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. And, there are also words that that we use in Dutch and they use in German and has a totally different meaning. As example, slim. If we say in Dutch, wat ben jij toch slim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that smart. Means you are very clever, you're smart. But slim in German means that's bad.
Oh, okay.
So it's totally opposite. So I have said to people sometimes,
it's important to know the difference.
Yes, you are so slim. And then they look at me from, excuse me. And then, there was communication because I meant that they are smart and they thought that I said that they were stupid or something like that, in that direction. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
so
it is fun, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there are some words that we have to be taking account of. But I from the group, if I can go back a little bit to the mother and elder mothers and baby group, there was one lady from those six. I saw her also during the week,
mm-hmm.
and she was very good in her German language, and she always corrected me.
Okay. Yeah.
And she asked if I thought it was annoying, and I said no, because if you correct me, I can learn the correct way. And yeah. If nobody's correcting me, yeah, then I just keep going what I think that it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, and that was nice.
And during those, it was 2 years, the first 2 years. How did your children, yeah, they were young, of course, but did you notice that they were growing up in a bilingual environment?
I think so. Yes, they do, because the oldest one went to kindergarten, so that's I say that in English.
Daycare.
Yeah, preschool.
Preschool daycare. Yeah.
Preschool daycare. For 2 days, I believe. I'm not sure. I totally forgot. But I went to bring it. So he always there. They also spoke German, so he associated the preschool daycare with German. That was quite, and of course, if I were with friends, we also spoke, or with Frau Kaiser, we also spoke German.
Okay.
Generally, if I was around outside, I spoke as much as I could, I spoke German.
Let's continue with the part you're going back to the Netherlands. It's like reconnecting with your roots. At some point, your family moved back. What led to the decision? Was it only work, or did you feel you wanted to connect, reconnect?
No, my husband worked for a firm, and first he was there as an employee, and that was renewed. That was always for 2-3 years.
Yes.
So we knew that we would go back, and we thought that we would go back to Rotterdam. So in those 2 years, we were also looking for a house in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got an offer to go to Eindhoven.
Yes.
And that was a lot easier to find a place because, well, I come from that area, from the south, from North Brabant. So yeah, that's normally easier then.
Mm-hmm.
Was it easy to go back? Yeah, it was closer to family. So that was nice.
Yes.
Because, of course, I have been calling my mom, especially many times during that time. And, we went to school. And then I thought the boys went to the Peuterspeelzaal.
Yeah.
How you call it in English?
Is it preschool again. Yeah.
Preschool again. Yeah, of course. Yeah, they were the youngest one turned 2 and the other one was then almost 4.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go to preschool a little bit. And the first thing that the oldest one did, and I really thought it was so amazing, he started talking German.
Yeah.
That's those teachers were going like, what's going on here? I said, yeah. So they come from Germany. So that's association. Yes. So the youngest one didn't speak, of course, not so much, just a few words. So, but they both understood German very well. We also had, before we went to Germany itself, we had friends who came from Germany, and one comes from the Ostsee, so it's the border. Yeah. So he understood Dutch, but he spoke to the children always in German. So that's they always kept. So that was very interesting. I wanted to keep doing the German language because I thought, yeah, it's nice that if they can speak and German and Dutch. But yeah, you hear everything in Dutch then. And then the children looked at you like okay, this is, they didn't say it, but I felt it.
It's not
like, connected. Okay, this,
yeah, it's not connected and anymore. No,
not connected. And they start giving me Dutch answers back. So I was going like, okay, just let it go. And we had our German friends still. And in those years that we were in area of Eindhoven, we lived in Gelderop at that time. We also went, we invited every summer a girl who was 1 year older than my oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
And she came on a holiday for 3 weeks. That was from Stichting Foundation. Europe, Stichting Europa Hulp. I don't know what Hill. Yeah, so It's an organization who where kids who don't have anything, or where parents are alcoholic or drugs or something, overworked, that they and don't have money, that can go to, in this case, to the Netherlands, and then you are there as a host family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you host the child during the holidays.
Yeah, for 3 weeks, and she was from Germany.
Okay.
So, in, of course, she spoke German, and the kids they could communicate because she had to learn Dutch.
Yeah.
In this case, and our kids, yeah, they understood German, so they could communicate with her. But that's also was also helping both ways.
Did you feel that your children had to catch up Dutch when you returned to the Netherlands? Or was it going naturally?
The first time, no, they were so young.
Yeah.
No. And we spoke at home Dutch. Yeah? I mean, it's also a different if you have one parent who is Brazilian and the other parent in Dutch or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, because I'm, as a mother, I'm a Dutch mother.
Yes.
So generally, I speak Dutch with the children, especially when I'm upset.
Yeah. And you know what your mother tongue is. Yes.
Then then the mother tongue. I mean, I spoke always with my children German, but at the moment that they really were naughty, and I expressed myself in Dutch, then they knew.
They knew it was business.
Yeah. Then they knew it was done. Then they had to listen. So that's good.
And then. Second time, Germany, you moved again. What changed for you as mother this time around? Because your children were older.
Yeah, the youngest one was going to grade 5, and the other one would go to grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Netherlands, it is the last year from the, primary, secondary school? Secondary, I think.
Primary school.
The primary school? So he had to skip the last year. So, and that's of course for those kids the big thing.
Yes.
We knew that we would go to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to go to put the kids on a German school.
Yes.
But we looked into that, and then we noticed that the German school system at that time, I'm talking about now about 25 years ago, so maybe it has changed, I do not know,
mm-hmm.
That the children go to school till 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And then they come home. And then they have a lot of homework. And then they expect that generally the mother or the parents,
mm-hmm.
in this case me, the mother, will take, help them with their homework. And then I was going like, I think you cannot expect that from a German mother, because not everybody can teach. That's why there are no teachers, but they do something different. And I was going, you definitely cannot expect that from a foreign woman mother. Like me. I mean, I can speak German very well, fluently. But if you're going to talk to me about if it's male or female or all those complex things that they have and the form of the sentences, no. That is something that I cannot teach my children. Well, I will teach them wrong. So I was going to my husband, no, I don't want that. And
you
also...
you choose the international school then?
Yeah, because also if the children were... if the teacher was sick, then the children were... sent home.
Mm-hmm.
So that also means that me as a mother, as a woman, as a person, could not do anything for myself as well, because I want to be home when the children are coming home. So that was a decision to go to an international school.
Yeah.
And that meant, because our children were prepared to go to Germany to talk German, which mm-hmm. they already understood and could a little bit, because we also have German friends over the years. And now they had to learn English.
English, yeah, true.
And that was nice from the firm, from my husband. They our kids get some classes up front. To learn to have the basic of English, that they are not totally lost. And of course, the oldest one already got, because nowadays it's in 11, in when they are 11, they already get the English classes, the basic. So he already put a little bit. But the youngest one, zip.
Yeah.
He didn't get any, couldn't speak. So he was very, he really didn't like it.
Big transition. So,
yeah, it was a very big transition. We also know, of course, we give a big, they could do their own saying goodbye party the way they want it.
Yeah.
But the youngest one, when we were in Germany at the international school, he hasn't spoken to the teachers, or barely, till the end of November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the teachers also didn't know if he understood it or did not. Sometimes I think, oh, he got the essay,
yes,
and then
no,
the task, and then he didn't do anything, he didn't understood it. Mm-hmm. And then she thought, oh, I don't think he could, that he got it, and then he knew it. So the good thing in the international school where we, and I think that's generally everywhere, is that the youngsters who are cannot speak fluently English, they have classes that they take out.
Yeah.
And they get extra classes.
Support, yeah.
Yeah. And that had helped.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were going like, So, and then we went in November, we went back to, they had a mini break. So, and then we said, okay, we're going to make only friends weekend. So we will go to the Netherlands. You can go to school, stay with your friends. Yeah, to spend the nights there. We spent in a hotel, and we also invited our friends. So our parents were not delighted, because they were going off and, what about us? And we go off and, okay, one evening you can come, and then it's only family, it's only friends, because the kids need that.
Yes.
And then they also went to school.
Okay.
Back in the Netherlands. and you would say from, okay, the kids are happy that they are off. Other kids were happy to go to school again during their break. So it was pretty funny to see.
Yes.
And but there, at least, yeah, they both realized it. But the youngest one especially realized that, oh, things has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't belong here anymore.
Okay.
It's yeah, the circle is round. It's, and when we went back, then he started talking.
Okay, that was the switch. That was the moment.
That was the switch. Also, what we noticed, that the youngest one had ADD,
mm-hmm.
which we did not know.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we know what ADD means, is generally that they cannot handle so good with changes.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. And we found out when he was 12.
Okay, yeah.
So that was then he was a few years older. So that afterwards I've been thinking, oh, oops.
That didn't help. No. And you see, all children are different. One has a better or smoother transition. You never know what.
Yeah.
In your case, okay, you might know, but we have two.
Yeah, now I.
And one reacted completely different than the other one. So, yeah, it is. But it's good to hear that that he could make the switch then after that visit to the Netherlands.
Yeah. Apparently, because he while we were finding out that he has ADD, mm-hmm. he did the test in German.
Oh.
Okay. German language, not in English or in Dutch, no, in German. So, and then they said also from, it's very interesting because it's not his language, so he's high intelligence. And that's why they probably, then they have more difficulty if they have to learn a new language.
Okay.
Because then they want to talk directly, and they don't want to say from, hey, I am, my name is, I'm so much, you know, the basic word. The
basics,
you know,
yeah,
if you start a new language or whatever, you have to start at the bottom. So, and that's why he didn't do it.
Yeah.
So that was a very interesting thing. At the end, everything went well. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see how you cope. And I think that we manage, because I'm a very strict mom. Mm-hmm. Yes is yes and no is no. Mm-hmm. And there's at that time there was no in between.
No.
I mean, if some people say, well, oh, if the kids want to have candy in the grocery store and they start screaming, then the parents generally are like, okay, yeah, shh, are you quiet? And slowly be quiet, still. And then you get to candy. Yeah, and I always told my kids, okay, I can give you, you can cry, but or lay on the floor, but it's not going to happen. And if you want to have a reason to cry, I can give you one on your butt. And then you have a reason to cry. So, but I'm not, I don't care what other people think. So, and then, so that, then's what they stop. And also we didn't, how you say that? If then they, oh, if I don't get it, then I go to dad. So we were always on one page, even if we are disagreeing as parents, not to the children.
Yeah.
We did it behind doors and they say, hey, why, blah, 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 whatever. But to the children, so they knew that they could not trick us or that kind of stuff. And I think that has helped my youngest son with his ADD, that he could kept it so long, yeah, still, before you find out.
During this time from adjusting, switching, etc. How did you keep up the Dutch? Only by speaking? Did you notice something different because now they had Dutch, German, and English?
At home, it was in the beginning English, and then it was with German and English. We had sentences like, "Oh, who came vandaag math?" So, or those, so you say Dutch sentences and then you throw, and we even didn't notice that anymore. I mean, yeah, if I say it now, I notice when, okay, I speak Dutch with one word of English in it. But at home, it was, yeah, many things. And we also did that when we were around, yeah, other people.
Yes.
That some stuff, okay, and what do you mean now? And then we go left on. What are you talking about? But I say, yeah, well, you were talking German or you were talking English. And we go, oh, because the oldest one had generally German friends.
Yes.
International. But they spoke English with each other.
Okay.
Also very interesting.
That's interesting.
And the youngest one had international friends from America, from all over the place, also Japan. So they also speak also English, but I told them that they have to do German sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I really want them to learn, because we are not experts who goes 3 year here in Europe, in Germany, and then 3 year in Spain, and then 3 year in Tokyo, and then 3 year, I don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going like, okay, so I want you to also get to learn German, the language, but also the culture. I thought it was very important to do that as well. And yeah, so they went to the German sports clubs.
Yes.
So they spoke their German.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where's the Dutch in the whole story?
Where's the Dutch in the whole story? the youngest one had Dutch at school. They offered that.
Okay. Right.
And he did that, I think, almost till the end. The oldest one had also 1 or 2 years of Dutch, and then there was a year that there was computer.
Ah.
And of course nowadays it's quite normal, but at that time it was coming up.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, mom, the Dutch and the computer classes are at the same time, and I want to do the computer. And I was going, we were talking about it, and we were going like, yeah, I think you can do a lot more with computers than with the Dutch language. So he said, okay. So he stopped taking Dutch.
Yes.
But he finished in bilingual German and English.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And he, and after he graduated, he moved to England to study, and then he went to Brazil. So in the meantime, he's now back in the Netherlands. But yeah, we notice, of course, while they haven't spoken English, and it's for both of them,
yes,
that of Dutch, that they that sometimes there were words that they don't find the words, mm-hmm. and also the words that we use as adults.
Yeah.
In the Netherlands, we say, for instance, from okay, as a child,
mm-hmm.
Walk on the stoep, loop op de stoep,
mm-hmm.
and as an adult, we say, loop op het trottoir.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last part is the same. Eh? This is both go on the, how you call it, the paveways. They both go like from, can you not talk normal? Can you not just say stoep? Those things. Yeah, that is.
That's the age where they learn those words.
Yeah.
They skip that, so they have the old-fashioned way. It's what they tell my son from time to time. Why do you talk Dutch in this way? In what way?
Yeah, or sayings. Yeah, the apple falls not far from the boom. Then they really go like, "What is?" Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Yeah, that's a saying in Dutch.
Yeah,
that is those things. They they hardly know. That is something that we really have to explain. And then they look at us from, okay, are you nuts? And you're, yeah, no, we are not nuts. We're Dutch.
Hey, looking back, now as a grandmother, how do you reflect on your son's language journey, both of them?
Well, I think they both have grown a lot. And we weren't go if we were not being abroad, I would not say if it's better or worse, but they are so fluent in three languages, and the oldest one even now also in Brazil, in Portuguese and Brazilian, it goes to them so easily.
Yeah.
They if I speak as a mother, if you really want to know, you have to
yes,
ask my sons.
As a mother.
As a mother. They learn, they grow, they have a bigger vision,
mm-hmm.
because they don't only see the Dutch way. They have also learned the expat's way, which is also a bubble, which we try to, we always kept them in front from, okay, expat life is not the life that most people live in.
Mm-hmm.
Which was when they were teenagers, hard to for them to accept. But when they start studying, they were in England and they have learned, because then they have seen, that some kids didn't get some money from the parents to eat and drink and that kind of stuff. So they have, I don't know, £50 for the whole month.
Yeah.
And then it was only spaghetti with tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, well, at least I could change it with some chicken or whatever, and make it a little bit differently. So they really have started appreciating that they were abroad, and they see how good they have it. They see that that there's more than only one small place. So they talk wider, they see wider, they are more open-minded,
mm-hmm.
also to understand other people, I think, also better.
Ah, that's beautiful. It brought them in a lot of ways, and I hear that it has shaped them as well, your journey and their journey after. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I can imagine if I always was in the Netherlands, then they. It's possible, because I also went abroad, and while my parents were only in the Netherlands. But it's also, I think it's also in their system a little bit, because after that they both studied in England, and one stayed in England, moved back for 1.5 years to work, but he had a girlfriend, which is now his partner. And when she got pregnant, she wants to go back. So they moved back to England.
Yes.
So, he only speaks English.
Yes.
So, and I speak with the grandchildren Dutch, because he doesn't know the words, I think. But people cannot hear that he is Dutch.
No.
And the other ones went to study in England, then did a master in Portugal and in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to finish in Portugal, but then, of course, he met a Brazilian.
Okay.
So he finished there, and then he stayed there. Well, with that lady, it didn't work out, but it was okay. At the end, he found another Brazilian, which he already met long time before. And so he worked 5 years. You know, he went in 2016, and 2 years ago, in 2023, they came back. So it's
also very international. Yeah.
Very international. Yeah. So
I'm very curious for our listeners, what would you say to younger parents who are raising their kids in another country and struggling to keep the Dutch alive? Do you have some advice or tips of encouragement?
So for Dutch people who are abroad, you mean?
No, in this case, or international parents coming to the Netherlands and struggling to keep their mother tongue alive, because that's how do you keep your mother tongue alive when you're abroad?
Yeah, keep your mother tongue alive. Truly, for me, it was not so important, because I really, when I was for the second time, I had international schools has a lot of communities. They also have a Dutch community and a German community and blah, blah, blah. And I was going like, yeah, I'm here in Germany because I want to learn their culture and their language.
Yes.
So I try to avoid to have contact with the Dutch. Of course you had, and there were a few where I loved them and it went all well. I also do understand the ones who are traveling everywhere, that they prefer their community. I think it really depends on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's, I think, the mother who stays behind, how she feels about it. If you want to keep your mother tongue alive, well, I think you speak with your children all the time, mm-hmm. Your mother tongue. Depends on the partner. Yeah. If they have the same mother tongue or not, makes it easier. In my case, it was easier. My husband was also Dutch.
Yes.
I look at my kids, they have an English and a Brazilian one. So, yeah, their mother tongue is not Dutch. It's English.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's from how do you feel? I think it's for everybody a very personal thing.
Well, this is really true. And this is a relatable story is also an advice, you know, and to see how other people do it. And in your case, you were very focused on for yourself, but also for the children, which went naturally, of course, because they were young, but to learn the language of the country you were coming to. And that is for international parents who are coming here, for their children, important as well. And of course, no German here, but the Dutch language. But if I'm not correct, just say so. You did it in that way because you knew how important it was to integrate the language. You need the language to integrate.
If you don't, and also, I mean, I knew that for me it was two times opportunity then. I just went one time for 2 years, and then I went for 9 years back. That's a difference than a lot of expat women who goes with their partner, or the other way around, from country to country.
Yeah, true.
There's a totally different feeling, and then you can maybe feel lost all the time, but it's also there. What I always say I wanted to learn the language. This was in German. I watched German television.
Yeah.
Because in Germany, and the same as in Spain and in different countries, there's no subtitles.
No.
And everything is synchronized.
Yes.
So it's terrible, but I watch movies that I already know. And if you hear Eddie Murphy laughing in German, it's really terrible. Really, really, really terrible. But I knew that it's really terrible. But I knew that movie. So
exactly, yeah, that's
then
great.
Those things. And the other way around is the same. If you want to learn the Dutch language, for instance, we have all subtitles. And you also, nowadays with Netflix and I don't know what all those things, you can also put it in Dutch. So you also, it depends on which language you want to keep up, the Dutch language or your mother tongue, you can.
Yeah. Well, it's quite advice, because you also have this for children. You can put the subtitles on YouTube videos they like, depending on the age, and you can.
Yeah.
They have even now started with transcribing in other languages. So if your child loves, for example, what do we have? Cars, that's all, I think. But juffrouw's is the Dutch. You can script it so you can read together what you're watching. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So it's really from what is... That I think is the most important part. From what is your intention? What do you want to do? Yeah, because if I look at my son and my daughter-in-law, she comes from Brazil, and they decided they want to come back to the Netherlands to raise their children, because they don't want to want them in São Paulo, where there's a lot of violence and that kind of stuff. Not so nice place to be, to grow up children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She can go to the Brazilian community, or she can decide to integrate. And it's tough. It's not going to be easy. I know that. I'm fully aware of that. But to learn the Dutch language. And if you're in Amsterdam, it doesn't matter, because everybody speaks, where I live, everybody speaks English. Mm-mm. I mean, even as a Dutch, I ask for in Dutch cappuccino, and I get an English reply back. Or they say, I do not understand you. Or I go, okay. But if you live in the villages close by, generally those people just speak Dutch.
Yes.
So it's and some cultures are more different than the other ones, and with weather wise and with cultural wise, but still you have to find your way. And I think the most important part is to connect with the ones where you feel comfortable. And yes, in the beginning is that with your own language.
Yeah, sure.
But it's also nice to start integrating. And as an expat, or maybe as my daughter-in-law is not an expat, she's just here for, I don't say life forever, but for a long time. It's also, you have to go out.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I came from Germany back to the Netherlands. I come from the south, and I moved back to Amsterdam. And everybody was going, how wonderful is that? Wow! And I was going, I don't know. And people, don't you like Amsterdam? It's so beautiful and so much to do, and blah, 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 all those things. And I was going, yeah. But to go for a weekend or a week,
it's different.
Is different.
Yeah.
Than to live there.
This is true.
It took me 2 years to get back.
And that is normal. If you're moving, not everything is researched, but this is, you need 2 years to land in a country, and then you will start the total of living because you feel comfortable. And it doesn't change if it's your country you're moving back to. Stronger, a lot of Dutch parents who return have more
difficulties,
more problems, because they think, we're returning. What's the deal? But you're starting over again, and that's
I always go, it doesn't matter if even if you would move in the same country you live, from the south to the north or wherever, you have to start all over. I mean, my family's in the south. It's 1.5 hours drive. It's for me, it's pretty much okay, but I don't go there for a cup of coffee. That's a no-go. Then I'm gone for the whole day. If they want to come, they go left and it's all the way to Amsterdam. But that's different, because the Dutch is a small country, the Netherlands.
It's the same country, yeah. Well, we have to round it up, but
it's rounded up.
Before we do, I really would love to hear a little bit about your special role. I don't know a lot about it. Of course, I read your website and I know more now than my listeners, but you're a shaman and you're especially focused on working with women and mothers. Can you tell us a little bit more? What do you do? What is a shaman?
A shaman is in general, if you translate it, is a medicine woman or medicine man. And we have that in indigenous people in all kinds of countries and all kinds of tribes. We also had it here in Europe. People think not, but we had the kruidenvrouwtjes, so who works with herbs. We have the witches. Mm-hmm. And we also work with the drums. That has been done for a century. It's gone, but we bring it back.
Yeah.
I assist people to come back in their midst again. If they're on a crossing or they have issues, then they can come and we go seven generations back generally. That's in a nutshell. I work with Cradle of Motherhood because I think it's very important that what we had in the old days, mm-hmm. the community. Nowadays, we have to keep up the balls in the air, and we think that we have to do everything by ourselves, that we have to work, that we have to be the perfect woman, wife, and we have to be the perfect mother, and blah, 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 and work and whatever, but we forget ourselves. And if we are pregnant, we are running and running.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really making connection with the child. Mm-hmm. I had now a client, she's 22 weeks pregnant and she has no connection with her baby. And when we work together,
mm-hmm.
now she feels the baby again, because I think it's so important to have me time for the mother,
mm-hmm.
and also for the women, and also to can say, from, hey, can you hold my child for an hour because I need some rest? Because if the mother is in peace, and father as well at the end, then she's a bit, then you are a better person. You can be a better mother, and you can be better to dad to take care of yourself. People think always from, oh yeah, but the child isn't child. Yeah, it's very important. But if you are tired, the child feels, reacts, and then you get annoyed. If you are in peace, you are you're totally rested out. And generally, the first months, it's not, because you have to be, every mother experiences that they have to go all night through. Then it's nice. Then the baby is reacting on it if you are very tired. And I bring the women back in their midst and to feel each other again. And I generally do use that with my drum and with my voice. So if I may, I want to use my voice. I'm not going to drum. I use my voice.
Yeah. I'm not pregnant, but
no. Well, generally, my voice is also for other. I chant. It's called chanting because you cannot. Your brain cannot comprehend it because it's not words. And with words, we always have an association. Sure. You can say, "When I have a fight," and I'll say, "No, we haven't. We don't have a fight. We have a quarrel." But we both meant the same, for instance. So it's how you pronounce something, or if you have been raped, then you have something different with love, with the word love, than if you are in a lovely family. So and if I do that, mm-hmm. then people cannot get it by the mind, but they feel it. The energy goes where it goes. So I'll let you hear it.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I will just say thank you and goodbye, and then you can do your chant. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful way to end the yeah. podcast. Otherwise, I feel like I'm interfering with the chant while thanking you, etc. So thank you, Romani. Thank you so much for sharing your story from young expat mother to wise shaman. We're going to hear it now, and grandmother. Your experience is a gift. Your story is a gift for international parents navigating this, quite complex, emotional, but multilingual, and I think meaningful life. To our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with other parents abroad. And don't forget to check out Romani's work at the link I will put in the show notes. Until next week, and remember, praat Nederlands met me. And here we go, Romani.
Okay. Okay. No.